Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
How do you solve a problem like Tom Wilson? That's the song everyone at the Department of Player Safety was singing this week as Tom Wilson was given a stiff 3-game suspension for his hit to Zach Aston-Reese in Game 3. Welcome into another edition of the NBC Sports Washington Capitals Face-Off Podcast. Tarek is over there laughing at me. I'm, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent J.J. Regan. With me today, he is the Capitals insider. He is the Mr. Hat to my Mr. Garrison. He's Tarek El-Bashir. Tarek?
I have no idea what that is in reference to.
That's a South Park reference. An old South Park.
Okay,
reference.
Well, I can get into some South Park, but I didn't get that one. Hey, how about I got one for you today?
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
And this one might hit kind of close to home.
Uh-oh.
You're a beat-up Korean compact hoopy to my gleaming German sports sedan. How about that?
Anyway, we are going to talk about the Tom Wilson suspension and what the Caps can do now on their top line. But first, because I know that's going to take most of the discussion, Tarek, give me a general overview of how you think the series has gone so far.
Well, obviously, it's tied 2-2 right now after 4 games, but I think the Capitals could very well be up 3-1. I feel like they have carried long stretches of play. I think they've been the better team in at least 3 of the games. I think if they do not get out of this round, they will look back. To me, so far, through 4 games, the missed opportunity was Game 1, and it was that 5 or 6 minute stretch.
Minutes and 49 seconds.
Where Sidney Crosby decided to do what Sidney Crosby does.
Yep.
And in my opinion, that was a huge turning point, a huge missed opportunity. But I like the way things are looking for this Capitals team. And look, I talk to a lot of people, you know, not everything that I put on my Twitter or, you know, my Facebook or write for the website encompasses all of my conversations. I've talked to a lot of people just kind of off to the side. Mm-hmm. This is a confident group. They feel like this could be the year that they see signs, even though it's 2-2 and even though they don't have Tom Wilson, they feel good about their game. They believe, even after last night's setback in Pittsburgh, that they've got a lot of components of their game going right now, maybe more so than they have in years past when they, you know, pushed the Penguins even to 7 games. So I will see how it goes, but if I'm the Caps right now, I'm encouraged and heartened by the fact that I've got the 2-time defending champions tied up 2-2, and it's a best-of-3 right now. I feel good about that.
In the first 3 games, that's 180 minutes of hockey. Mm. Capitals were the better team for all but about 15 of those minutes.
I could agree with you for that. I'd give the Penguins a few more, but yeah.
Well,
it's pretty close. It's pretty close.
The Capitals were the better team by
sure,
far in the
sure.
first 3 games. They weren't in Game 4, and now the series is tied at 2. That is a little disheartening by the fact that you were just so dominant, and it's still a tied series. But you're right. I think looking back at those first 4 games, you can look at it, it's glass half full. The Capitals have been the better team through 4 games. They have been. Now, that doesn't matter. Now that you're in a best-of-3, the series is tied. That has gotten you this far. That has earned you a best-of-3 series with Pittsburgh. And the problem is that for 2 of those games, Tom Wilson is not going to be there. And we're going to get to that because Tarek and I have already been yelling at each other earlier today about this, so we're going to get there. Tarek, let's go from the back up real quick. Braden Holtby has been outplaying Matt Murray, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Hasn't he?
He has. I mean, statistically and just eyeball test wise, I feel like there have been some moments in this series where Murray has looked like he's got a little self doubt, where he's looking around, he's not very confident in whether he got the puck, where some of his rebound control has been a little scattered. He knows that the Capitals clearly have the book on him at this point because they've been beating him high glove side. You know, it's not just past the glove, they are picking their spot between his ear hole and his glove. I mean, they're putting it over the shoulder.
They're shooting high because he's so quick to go down.
He's quick, but he's also big. So when he seals off that bottom, when he goes down, a 6'4" man goes down into that butterfly with those 40 some odd inch pads, there's not a whole lot to shoot at down low, as young Shane Gersich found out yesterday on his break-in in the first period. I've said this before, and I don't know if I said it on this podcast, but in all my years of covering playoff hockey, the three things I look at are goaltending, power play, and penalty kill. Mm-hmm. Those are three important components to winning in the playoffs. There are three barometers that I think can determine the outcome of a series, and right now the Capitals have an edge there. Now, the big problem in Game 4 was finding some 5-on-5 scoring, and the lack of Tom Wilson and also the lack of changing things once it was pretty clear that first line with Devontae Smith-Pelly was not gelling or getting the job done. Concerning. It's concerning.
Right. So I said we would go from the back up. So that's goaltending. Defense, this series has been far more defensive than I think anyone has really anticipated. When you have the sort of firepower that both these teams boast, the fact that these games have been, you know, Game 4 was 3-1, and one of those was an empty netter. Game 1, 3-2. Game 2 was 4-1, and one of those goals was an empty netter. It's been a relatively low-scoring series, especially when you look at what the Penguins and Flyers did in round one, how they were trading punches.
I just think it's two teams that know each other well, have figured each other out a couple of years ago, and there haven't been a whole lot of changes. You know, we talked to Barry Trotz today, Friday between games, and he made a pretty telling point when he was talking about the game within the game, the kind of cat and mouse game that goes on when you're making adjustments. He said, there's only a few tricks that each team can pull out of the bag. And he said, the difference between this year and last year, it's the same tricks. They're just in different order.
I think every move that we make, there's a counter move, and every move they make, there's a little counter move. And it's funny, a lot of them are the same things that we've seen at different parts in the last couple of series. They just come in different order sometimes at you. You know, it's, you know, there's only so many, maybe so many bricks that you have, and they just are lined up a different way all the time.
So it's kind of funny. I mean, when you know an opponent as well as these two teams know one another, and your coaching staff kind of, you know, has already figured out the other's go-to moves in certain situations, I think that's to a certain extent led to, I wouldn't even say it's a lack of scoring. I think there's been plenty of goals in this series. I would say the fact there hasn't been a really lopsided game.
So we're going to move on to forwards, but we're going to do that after a quick commercial break because Tarek and I are going to come to blows, so we're going to need as much time as possible.
I guess I'm finishing this podcast solo.
Okay. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsor. Welcome back. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Tom Wilson was handed a 3-game suspension by the Department of Player Safety on Wednesday night, a move that was roundly applauded in Pittsburgh and bashed in Washington. Tarek, what did you think of the suspension?
Well, I was surprised it was 3 games. I knew from the moment that tweet from the Department of Player Safety went out.
How they called it illegal.
I mean, they called an illegal contact to the head. Right then I was like, well, crap. He's getting suspended. The question now is it 1, 2, 3, the rest of the play? Like, how much is he getting? And the way I rationalized it was, sure, there were 3 on the border questionable hits. The Winberg hit, the Dumoulin hit, and then the one that ended up getting him suspended. And I thought that they were going to try and send a message that, hey, look, dude, you're playing way too close to the edge. We're okay with you putting your toe on the line, but your toenail has now crossed that line a little bit a couple times, a few too many times in these playoffs, and you've got history. So I thought one would have been enough because in my mind, one playoff game equals 2 to 3 regular season games.
Yep.
So now with a 3-game suspension, I mean, that's 6 to 9, depending on whether you consider it 2 games or 3 games. So big blow. I think that the Caps room was angry.
TJ Oshie was pissed.
He was fired up.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he looked at me when I asked that question after the morning skate, I mean, his eyes were kind of red. And you could tell he had just been stewing over this. And you also tell when players kind of rehearse in their head what they're going to say when the question's asked. He knew that question was coming, and he was ready to go.
Yeah.
The question to me is going to always be, and it's just like goaltender interference and in the NFL, whether a catch is a catch. I want more consistency, and I want to kind of – I think Tom Wilson needs to really use this little reset, this little timeout, if you will, to kind of really figure out how he's going to have to play the game to adjust to what the referees are looking for the fact that he's got a target on his back, because he just means too much to this team, as we saw in game 4.
Oh, yeah.
To take himself out of the lineup for. I mean, that hit just wasn't – I like contact in hockey. I like hitting in hockey. But that hit just – it wasn't a necessary hit. It just wasn't. He was going to the bench for a line change.
Right.
He saw it as an opportunity to get a young rookie and kind of, you know, maybe it has a bigger effect when it happens between the benches, because everyone goes, holy crap, you see what 43 just did? Yeah. He's going to have to be more judicious when he doles out those hits and just maybe dial them back a little bit, just not do it as much.
Right.
He has other tools in his bag now. He doesn't have to rely on the big hits all the time, although that's a big part of his game.
The hit was unnecessary. You can't really argue that. I'm not surprised that he was suspended, considering the emphasis the NHL has put on head hits. I know there's – from one angle, it looks like it's shoulder to shoulder. From the other angle, he gets him square in the head.
When we saw that reverse angle in the Department of Player Safety video, which we had not seen – we had not been privy to that before.
Yeah.
That's where – as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, there it is.
But I think you're absolutely right in that they clearly took the Wenberg hit and the Dumoulin hit into consideration. And
I'm sure there were three or four more.
That's what I had a problem with.
I'm sure there were three or four more in the regular season that had kind of drawn their attention.
Still, 3 games is harsh. It is way too many. It's a reaction to those hits. And my reaction was, if you didn't like the Wenberg hit, if you didn't like the Dumoulin hit, then suspend him for those. Don't sit there and say, well, okay, that one's okay, that one's okay, that one's okay, that one's okay, and then throw the book at him the first opportunity you get. If you got a problem with the hits, you're the NHL. You make the rules. Suspend him. Instead, they basically vindicated him.
I don't know if I agree with that logic. I'm sure he knew he got away with one on each of those previous ones. I think when it comes to punishing someone, you got to give them a little bit of leash and maybe let them try to figure it out on their own. And who knows if there were conversations I'd be surprised if he didn't know after the Dumoulin hit, because actually I was in, because of, you know, the stuff I do after games, I was down there. He was waiting for a phone call. So he knew after the Dumoulin hit that he was on notice.
Look, if they talked to him and they said, you need to tone it down, that's one thing. If they didn't, you could easily argue the flip side of what you're talking about, in that one side says, okay, he knows he got away with a couple. The other side is, why should he change when he's basically been vindicated? When they've said, no, these hits are clean. So why should he change his style when the NHL has cleared him from those hits?
I mean, cleared, but he also knew that with the Dumoulin hit that there was a possibility of getting a phone call from George Parra. So I love Tom Wilson's game. You know, to a certain extent, he's kind of like our version of Brad Marchand. He's not as dirty, and he also isn't as prolific in terms of skill and, you know, how much the numbers he puts up. But kind of, he's one of those guys where if he's on your team, you love him, and if he's on the other team, you hate him.
Right.
The problem is, it's such a big part of his game that you don't want to dial it out too much, but you can't afford to keep losing him if he's going to be your first line right wing. Right. I mean, if you go back to that game winner, the one in game 3 where Ovi batted the puck out of midair, hit the post. Yeah.
That play was Wilson, made by, Wilson. Because did you see what Olimata did?
Yep.
He didn't even hit him. He just went boo. And Mata like short-armed the puck, and it started the whole play going the other way.
Yep,
and
that's just, exactly right.
And that's that intimidation, that menacing factor that he has when he's out there. When he's on the ice, guys like Mata who aren't very big, they short-arm stuff. They have a little bit of a – they have the yips a little bit when he's coming around them because they know that he might blow them up. So – that's the kind of fine line and conundrum that he's going to have to kind of deal with and you know figure out because it's a big part of his game. But you just he's got to somehow
he's going to have to
avoid the suspension.
He's going to have to dial it back. I just don't like the idea of the NHL basically storing up all these things just so that when he does get in trouble, now they can throw it all at him and give him three games. One, I understand. Two, because he's a repeat offender. Three seemed excessive to me.
The way I saw it math-wise, and this could be totally wrong, but first suspension was 2 games, mm-hmm. preseason games.
Yep.
Next suspension was 4 regular season games.
Mm-hmm.
This one was 3, which
but three
it,
playoff.
It's 3. If it's 3 playoff games and you count those as 2, that's 6. So 2, 4, 6 divided by 2, it's 3. Maybe that's the way I kind of justified it in my head, but I'll tell you this. Talking to people earlier in the day, I was tipped off by someone who knows that it could be harsh.
Mm-hmm.
I was told it could be the rest of the series. So part of me was like, and as the day wore on and nothing
and
was
it
coming
went longer
out,
and longer,
the first thing you think of is they're having the lawyers look at this video, go over all just to make sure because this is one of those. I mean, it's a pretty big suspension. People are going to be talking about this and using this as a measuring stick and precedent for future plays of this sort in the postseason.
Now, here's where we're going to get into an argument, Tark. Not that we weren't already arguing, but here's where we get into an argument. Now Barry Trotz has to figure out what to do with that top line.
Yep.
They tried Devontae Smith-Pelly mm-hmm. in Game 4. That mm-hmm. didn't work. And I wrote about this for the website. I know people are yelling and screaming, why Devontae Smith-Pelly? The fact is that if you're Ovechkin's line, you're going to play either Sidney Crosby's line or Evgeny Malkin's line, which means that somebody has to be able to play in the defensive zone. You've got Ovechkin, you've got Kuznetsov. You need someone who can play in the defensive zone because they want the balanced lines because you're going to be playing against a dynamic offensive line on the other side. So I understood the move with Smith-Pelly. That didn't work. So, Tarek, if you are Barry Trotz, what are you doing now on that top line?
I'm going with 3 defensemen. in all seriousness, look, man, I'm going to go risky. Look, here's one thing about Barry Trotz. He's always been a conservative guy who likes to go with veteran players in certain situations because he can trust them and he knows what he's going to get from them. But you know what? That conservatism has been thrown out the window ever since he switched goaltenders at the start of the playoffs and then switched again just 2 games in. And he doesn't have a contract for next year. Someone tells me he doesn't feel beholden to anything right now.
Yep.
I get gutsy.
Oh,
I get
no.
gutsy, and I do I something. I do something like Shane Gershon.
Oh, there it is. Oh,
Nathan
right.
Walker. Throw someone up there who's got
Did
some
you
speed.
Just say Nathan Walker.
Someone who's fast. Someone who's got some tenacity.
Gosh,
look, you have Ovechkin. You got Kuznetsov. You got 2 guys who can score goals. You got 1 guy who's creative and can create. You're going to control the matchups at home. At the very least, you can make sure you get your 2 best defensemen out when that line is out there. But you got to get something going 5-on-5. You got to get something going. And you know what? Do you know who the most dangerous player on the ice, the 2 most dangerous players on the ice in Game 4 were for me for the Capitals? Kuzi and Gersich. They had chances. They were dangerous. They were flying around. Kuzi every once in a while said, you know what? I'm just going to go through the whole team myself. Now I know it didn't work out well for him.
Yeah.
Look, Oshie had a beautiful power play goal. Backstrom's pass to him on that goal was outstanding. But the guys who were consistently were, you know, and I watched this game very closely, man. The guys who caught my eye, and Gersh played like 6-something minutes, and I would say for 4 of those, he was going 100 miles an hour with the puck on a stick going the other direction. Is he ready for that role?
No.
Who knows?
No.
But you
no,
know what?
No.
When a coach goes into a game, he's got plan A, plan B, and plan C. And why not give it a try?
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, you make an adjustment. That's what I was looking for.
If it doesn't work, it's a goal for the other team. That's why.
So you're willing to give Smith-Pelly another chance?
No. I'm definitely changing that top line for sure.
I know where you're going with this, but you don't want to blow up the other lines.
I'm not concerned with that. You right now, you have to do what you have to do.
Second line, by the way, good. Third line, when DSP was down, there was a pretty good line.
How much has Mike Sullivan changed his lines this series?
That was because of injury. That was
okay,
of
but he's
back.
Still changing multiple lines, and it's not his team. Somehow, did not forget how to skate. Did not forget how to play the game of hockey. They're still tied 2-2 in a series that they've been dominated. Somehow, the Penguins have managed to survive changing all of the lines. The humanity of it all.
Do you remember when Jake Guentzel got stuck into the lineup as a rookie?
Okay,
a couple
no,
years ago.
Don't say Jake Guentzel. You are the fan that you yell to me about all the time on Twitter. Jake, here's the difference. When you play on a line with Sidney Crosby, who is the difference between Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin, there are many differences, but one of the main differences is that Sidney Crosby is a phenomenal two-way forward. Ovechkin is not a two-way forward. Jake Guentzel can play with confidence knowing that Sidney Crosby
Why are you comparing a center to a wing? I mean, we should be comparing Kuznetsov to Crosby then.
Crosby is a better two-way forward than Evgeny Kuznetsov.
Of course, I'm not arguing with you. I'm saying let's at least compare apples to apples.
What I'm saying is that and let's not get this twisted. Shane Gersich had a great game four. If you want to get
turn
him more
the kid
playing
loose.
Time,
turn the kid
you
loose.
You want to give him more playing time? I'm all for that. To say, hey, kid, come over here, kid. Come here. Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, not great in the defensive zone. I'm going to match them against Malkin line. That's where you come in. You're going to be the key defensive
I'm not saying Kuzi is a shutdown center, but he's had his moments this year.
No, you need someone who's better defensively for that
he
line.
He likes that challenge.
And someone who could keep up with Ovechkin and
but you're
going to
get that last change. You can at least make sure that 9-2 are out there when that line's out there.
That's not enough, Tarek. It's not enough.
Mm.
It's not enough.
Well, neither is 8-92-25. You were at the turning point. You were at the most important game of the season of Barry Trotz's tenure, maybe of Alex Ovechkin's of the Alex Ovechkin era.
But
if they don't get past the Penguins this year, it may never happen.
Right. You can't stick with 25. You cannot stick with 25. That did not work whatsoever. But you know what, Tarek? There are three players on the second line, three players who are pretty damn good in the defensive
zone. Okay, so you're saying put Oshie up there with?
My move right now would probably be to put Oshie right wing, and then move Vrana and put him right wing, second line. That would be my move right now. But I think that's too much for Gersich, and I think it's unfair to say what happened for Jake Guentzel. It doesn't happen all that often. Jake Guentzel is unreal, unbelievable.
Give him four shifts.
Four shifts in a playoff game?
Give him four shifts. Why not?
If you get any, you get one.
Oh, you got to give him more than one.
You can't give him four. That could be 2-0 at that point. And then what are you going to do? You're going to come back from a 2-goal deficit against the Penguins.
It ain't going to be 2-0.
You're going to throw Gersich out there against Evgeny Malkin's line, which is now back to full strength because Carl Hagelin's out there.
Who can skate with Carl Hagelin? Okay, so Oshie goes back to the top line. So now you have Ovi, who's not all that fast. Kuzi, who's one of the fastest guys on the team. Oshie, who's not that fast. Nah, second line's got some speed. You'll have Stevenson, Backstrom, and Vrana, right?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't think Vrana had his best game in game four.
That was not his best game. No argument there.
So your third line is now going to be...
I'm going to go back to the line that you love so much.
Connolly, Eller, DSP. Okay,
and so I'm going to give the fourth line more minutes than they got. Because
so fourth line with it's still gonna be Gersich, Beagle, Chiasson.
Yes.
Okay. Look, I mean that's the conservative. I mean that's probably what Barry Trotz is gonna do because that's kind of his calling card. That's what he's done throughout his career. Is here I'm gonna play the odds. Here is the safe route. Here is the safest way to do this. Hell, you haven't gotten past this team. Throw caution to the wind. Who cares about caution? Throw Gersich up there, see what happens.
I'm not being cautious. I'm ready to tear that second line apart to help that first line. But I'm not ready to put Gersich against two world-class athletes.
The one option we haven't talked about is what about putting Ovi back with Backstrom?
I have thought about that, too. But the only problem with that is you've lost a guy. I don't want to get too top-heavy.
1977.
I don't want to get too top-heavy.
Well, the Penguins only have one line that's done anything. Gensel and Crosby have accounted for all of their offense except for the Malkin goal.
And Hagelin's been back for one game.
He's still hurt, by the
that
way.
Second, he didn't look like that. Second line.
He's still hurt.
That second line, Malkin is going to make something happen on that second line. I don't want to see Shane Gersich versus Evgeny Malkin. I just don't. I don't want to see that. That concerns me, Tarik.
Okay.
And I love Gersich.
Okay, okay.
He's played four NHL games. Well, and I think it's crazy the best to say, part, what the about best, Jake Gensel?
The best.
What about Jake Gensel?
It's not crazy.
It's crazy.
It's not crazy. Yes. So, we'll see. We'll see in a few hours. Morning Skate. He's going to unveil that line, whatever it's going to be. I would say if I were a betting man, if I were putting money on this, and I'm not going to, but if I were putting money on it, he's either going to keep it static. He's either going to give them another chance to at least start the game. His plan A will be 8-92-25, and then if that looks terrible the first three or four shifts, he's going to quickly make an adjustment.
Yeah.
I would say the more aggressive move would be 8-19-77, just go back to old faithful. I mean, they've done it before, and you know, you can just look at them in the eye and go, look, boys, this is where we're at right now without Tommy.
You can't go that top heavy against the Penguins.
Or so. He's going to take Tarik's advice, and he's going to go off the page. He's going to go out of the box.
You want to go Ovechkin-Backstrom. That's a little bit top heavy. You want to go Ovechkin Backstrom Oshie against the Penguins? That's way too top heavy against a very deep lineup. That's way too top heavy. Now, Tarik, we're not going to agree on this, but can we agree on one thing?
Probably not.
8-92-13, that you can't have that. And I love Vrana. I've been an advocate for Vrana, for getting him more playing time. Vrana does not help the situation when we're trying to think about a team that can play on both ends of the ice.
Yeah, probably not.
It's not yet.
He's still working out those details.
All right. Well, that wasn't as violent as I thought it would be. We're going to be right back with some questions from the listeners. All right, Tarik, only a few minutes left, so let's answer some questions real quick. First one from Alex Kleiman. Alex is critical of Ovi even before Game 4, writing, his play was characterized by sloppy passing and defensive play. Do you all agree? And if so, what's the prospect for improvement from him?
Dude's got 8 goals, man. He's got 8 goals.
I'm with you, Tarik. He's carried this team up until Game 4. Had a bad Game 4, but he carried the team.
Yeah.
He had 5 points in the first 3 games. I think we can give Ovechkin a pass.
I think he's played pretty well. Yes, but he has had some untimely turnovers and some other issues, but he's got 8 goals. You know what the hardest thing in hockey to do is?
Score
goals, and he does it in spades.
Marie Smith wants to talk about Axel Janssen-Fjällby.
Hey, Marie.
She writes, can you talk a little bit about what you think the organization sees in him
Hair.
And what plans they have for him going
Hair.
Forward?
Lovely golden locks.
He's got those golden locks, which I found out he doesn't like all that much.
Really?
In an interview, I think he says he didn't like it all that much.
I mean, he's got grit. He's got a great release, great shot.
You know what he's got.
Plays hard.
Speed.
He's fast. It's not pretty, but he gets up and down the rink pretty good. But he's got tenacity. He's got second effort. I saw a little bit of him in the World Juniors. I probably watched, I don't know, maybe I would say if you put together 2 of Sweden's games, I saw a full game. And I liked what I saw. And I like the fact that he competes hard. You need those guys. You can teach. Yeah. You can teach the details. Of defensive zone coverage and where to have your stick and how to play certain position, how to play certain situations and how to be a good penalty killer. You know what you can't teach? Motor and compete. And he's got that. So that's what they like for sure. I mean, it's the first thing you notice about his game.
Yep.
But he also scores. You know, I mean, if you are, I'll tell you this, in the history of World Juniors, how many prospects have gone there and then they go 0-0-0-0 and then they don't ever amount to it.
Right.
People who, if you get to the World Juniors and you get to those important medal round games and you're still putting the puck in the net the way he did,
yep,
that means you can do it at the higher level, because these are your peers and these are the dudes who are going to be first round draft picks and you're going to be playing, you're going to be playing against them pretty soon.
Yep. I spoke with Ross Mahoney and Troy Mann about him earlier in the year when I was doing the futures assignment for the hockey news. So Ross Mahoney, his speed and his effort, that's what he really likes about him.
Okay.
He said effort.
I mean, it's just, to me, that's what jumps out to me. The speed, he's fast. He's like a big rig kind of getting up to speed. It's not pretty, but he's
They see him as a speedy third line penalty kill type of player.
Sure.
And
good on his edges, stops hard, you know, changes directions well.
And interesting enough, Troy Mann compared him to a Carl Hagelin, who a lot of people we saw for the first time.
He's bigger than Carl.
But interesting comparison there. Brian Seal has some harsh words on Tom Wilson.
What's up, Brian?
As he writes, "I am done with Tom Wilson.
Oh, give him another chance.
His point production is nothing special. He takes too many penalties. The Caps spend way too much time talking about him, defending him, wondering if he's going to get suspended. The league is clearly losing patience with him, and I think he is more of a liability than an asset at this point. Am I crazy?" Yes.
You're not
question.
Totally crazy. I can understand your frustration.
Sure.
I can understand your frustration. But the thing about Tom Wilson is you can't measure a player of his ilk solely by goals and assists. And yes, he takes way too many freaking minor penalties.
He does take too many.
He took 41 in the regular season in just 78 games. I believe that was the most in the league. Way too many. It's inexcusable. He needs to settle down on that part, on that end, especially when you are one of the top penalty killing forwards on your team, and when your ass is in the box and you're supposed to be one of the first forwards over the wall in the PK. It's a double whammy.
Mm-hmm.
That all said, we were just talking about that play where Alex Ovechkin scored the game winner in Game 3. That happened because of his presence on the ice. He made a good play, but just him making that move towards Mata, I mean, that set the whole thing up. And that's what he does, is he opens space for his line mates.
Yes.
And when you got Alex Ovechkin, who, you know, doesn't hit as much as he used to, but still can, you know, hit like a freight train, and you got one of those on either side of Kuznetsov, why do you think Kuzi's able to kind of dance through an entire team and take the puck right to the rack sometimes?
Right.
It's because you got two freight trains on either side of them.
Right. The answer to this question is watch Game 3, the difference between Game 3 and Game 4.
Yeah.
Wilson has a clear impact on the team. The point production may not be as high as the other guys, but he has a clear impact. He fits well on that top line. I mean, Tark, the Capitals dominated the Penguins through three games. And what was anybody talking about after those three games? Tom Wilson. The Penguins weren't talking about, wow, we need to get better.
He hijacked the series.
He took over the series.
He sure did.
And the fact is that every time Tom Wilson is on the ice, the Penguins need to know where he is. Well, guess who else is on the ice with him?
Mm.
Kuznetsov and Ovechkin. And what are they worried about? They're worried about Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
That matters. That's huge. And he's also someone who's viewed as leader in the locker room. I mean, you and I answered the question a few weeks ago about who we thought could be the captain of this team, the future captain of this team.
Yeah.
You brought up Tom Wilson.
Sure.
This is a guy that they like a lot.
Teammates
they see a lot of potential in, and he's not going anywhere. He matters a lot to this team. So, Brian, to answer your question, yes, you are crazy.
I would say not certifiable, just maybe a little dramatic.
If you want to have your question read and answered on the next podcast, you can send it into capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. We've got more playoff coverage. Hopefully, the next time we talk, we'll be talking about the Capitals closing it out in six games. Right, Tark?
I think it's going seven.
Of course.
I've always felt it was going seven. The difference is, this is our year. Okay. This is the year.
As you've declared multiple times.
I got you speechless.
Thank you, as always, for tuning in. For Tark El-Bashir, this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.